Blog Talk Radio.
Wanna love, wanna have, wanna hold you, girl.
Shalom, shalom, everybody. Well, let me say this. This is another edition of the Yehuda Project on the first day of the week on Sunday. How is everybody doing today? I hope all is well. Everything's going according to your plan. All praise to the Most High that He gave us another day, that we live in another day in this moment. Praise His name. Hallelujah. Oh, my gosh. I don't know, man. I was in La La Land a few minutes ago. We almost didn't make this, I'm going to be honest with you, but I'm here. You know, we were talking about something yesterday, and you know what? We don't know how right we are in most cases. Remember we was talking about what happened to that thing that we was talking about yesterday, and I made a suggestion of where I thought it went? I got to play something for y'all, because I was like, wow. I couldn't believe it. I found it right after we hung up, and I'm like, oh, my goodness. So I want, you know, you guys to be able to hear this. I got to be able to see where we are.
Why are you?
And so you can hear all of it. It is incredible. We called it right on the dime. We called it right on the dime. Hold on. Here we go.
They are the same giant. And it is said that the giant was transported to Al Udeid Air Base in Qatar. The witness said it wasn't exactly known, but apparently believed that the giant was subsequently taken to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Ohio, USA. In addition, a third witness appears to have carried the giant to America. The witness is said to have been transported by plane from the United States to somewhere in Afghanistan to carry the load. He seemed to have no idea where he was, except that he was at the Air Force Base. He said they loaded a six-finger giant weighing 500 kilograms and transported it to a military base in Ohio. From these three independent testimonies, it is likely that the giant was brought to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in the U.S. 3 years after the capture. So what...
Didn't I say that yesterday? I called that. I said it's probably at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. I told y'all. I told you. The prophet ain't worthy in his own country. Hold on, let me finish.
What is this giant? The existence of the giant seems to have been known to the local people. The characteristics of the giant were that it was red-haired and had six fingers, and its skin color was paler than the local Afghans. He is almost 4 meters tall and cannot be considered a tall recluse. Humans of different species from modern humans are thought to live in the interior of Afghanistan. There, a giant called Nephilim appears in the Old Testament. According to Genesis, Nephilim is a giant race born between the children of God and the daughters of men. According to Numbers, Nephilim lived in the land of Canaan after the flood. The land of Canaan is the region west bank of the Jordan River today in Israel, located on the west side of the Orient world where ancient civilization flourished. And Afghanistan is the eastern edge of the Orient world. Kandahar is said to have been developed since ancient times as a strategic trading point connecting east and west. But once you step out of the city, you'll find a desert to the south and a dry mountain range to the north. If the Nephilim mentioned in the Testament were a different kind of real human being, they may have survived to the present in a remote place of Afghanistan. Evidence that the giant has survived until recently has been left around the world. In 1976, a 10-meter tall giant bone was discovered on a site called Gallery 13 in Romania. The bone was taken to Moscow and it never returned. In North America, there are many legends of giants among the indigenous people. Moreover, there are numerous records of the discovery of giant bones. However, these bones are now missing. Interestingly, North American giants are characterized by relatively white skin, red hair, and six fingers. These characteristics are exactly the same as the Kandahar giants. In the prehistoric world, giants different from modern humans might have existed widely. It is known that until just before human history began, several species of humans coexisted. At least modern humans and Neanderthals, Denisovans, and Flores men have existed at the same time.
Okay, I'm going to stop it right there. I just wanted to play that. I wanted you guys to hear that because I found it. Yes, there. It said that they took the giant to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. We were talking about giants truly existing, from the giants in the Bible to the ones that they found, to the testimony that the man gave, one of the soldiers gave that they encountered. They had a missing military unit, and they went looking for him. And when they ran up on this cave in Afghanistan, this giant came out. And he was, they said, between 12 and 15 feet tall. He weighed 1,100 pounds, and he had six fingers and six toes. Well, they killed him. And they were saying that a helicopter came and took him away and lifted him up. Well, I was saying yesterday that he's probably at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Ohio, because they have an area there where you can't go in. If you go anywhere near, you will be shot and killed. So, and I was right. That's what the man said. I was like, wow. So, you know, that's very interesting. I think it is, anybody. You know, that we can prove some of this supernatural stuff, you know, some of these supernatural accounts on the earth, and match it up with the Bible. So, I mean, you know, this is really some serious stuff, which is not anything new to us, because we knew about this a long time ago. But just for the people that were new on the class, they may have not heard of it before. So that's what I was saying, that we definitely called that one right yesterday, that he is actually, they believe he's in Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. And I wonder what else is up there. I guess I'd never know, you know, because that's not open to the public, not even open to the military. You have to have a special clearance to even go in that area. And I mean, it's fenced off. And if you go anywhere near it, you are shot and killed. Like, you know, there's serious stuff going on. So, you know, it's a lot going on this planet. It's a lot going on this planet that what we were saying yesterday is people take this for granted and they think that it's just ABC 123, and it's not. It's a lot going on. So, you know, I just want to say that. Anybody feel like they want to push one, join the conversation, please feel free to do that. You know, I just want to share with you. Area code brother 330. We still looking into the situation with the young man that was shot over 60 times. I guess now they are going through the legal ramifications for what they've done. Are they saying that this is justified, you know, that this is how they've been taught to do it? Because I've seen another incident with a Caucasian guy, and they shot him over 40 times, and I was like, wow. And the police officer, I mean, the chief of police was like, this is standard procedure. And it's like, how can this be standard procedure, you know, when somebody has been shot that many times? But I guess, you know, I don't even know. I have no idea. I just know that, you know, for right now, that's an issue. And also, you know what, the guy who shot into the crowd on the 4th of July, I heard today that they are considering pressing charges against his father, because his father signed for him to get those guns before he turned 21. And I was like, wow. His father signed for him to get those guns before he turned 21, and they're trying to hold somebody accountable. And, you know, he just refused to admit, you know, to the fact that he did what he did. It's really something, you know. It's a lot going on today. I mean, it is. That's what we were saying yesterday. It's so much stuff. It's almost like a murder spirit has been released. Some people think, you know, that it has something to do. Well, I ain't gonna say that, but anyway, you know what we said yesterday on the radio. So, let me see if I can play this one for you. If we have it.
Gunmen charged in the deadly parade shooting in Illinois. Police confirming they received multiple calls from his home over the years, raising more questions about possible missed warning signs. 21-year-old Robert Cremo is being held without bail, charged with 7 counts of murder and more charges on the way. Newly released video shows a SWAT team arriving at his mother's house on July 4th. ABC News speaking to his father, who insists there was no warning this was going to happen. What he's now saying about his son and being under police investigation himself. ABC's Alex Perez is in Highland Park.
Tonight, growing questions about how the suspect in the July 4th rampage was able to legally buy 5 firearms despite the red flags. His father, who sponsored the application for his son's gun permit because he was under 21, now telling ABC News he doesn't regret it.
They do background checks. Whatever it entails, I'm not exactly sure.
Bob Cremo saying it was up to law enforcement to vet his son. Investigators say just months before, his son attempted suicide and later threatened to kill family members. The father says he didn't know about the suicide attempt and didn't believe the other threat was real.
Making threats to the family, I think it was taken out of context where it's like just a child outburst, whatever he was upset about.
But that same day, officers confiscating more than a dozen knives, a dagger, and a sword from the home. The father now could face criminal charges for sponsoring that gun permit application.
We've seen more prosecutors being more aggressive with parents who should have done more to stop something like this from happening. So the maximum kind of charge that he could potentially face would be something like involuntary manslaughter.
The night before that horrific attack, Cremo's father insists they had a normal conversation and his son was in a great mood.
I had not an inkling, warned that, you know, something like this was going to happen. You know, I'm shocked.
After police say his son confessed to killing 7 people and wounding more than 30, Bob Cremo is blaming the system.
We need to come together between, just as a community here in the country, to come up with something, whether it's new laws, guidelines to prevent this from happening again, because it continues to happen.
And tonight we're learning police were called to the family home a number of times since 2002, mainly domestic calls. Only a few involved the suspect.
There is only so much the police department can do. We have a social worker on board. You know, we do what we can. But absolutely, I'm confident. I'm disappointed there wasn't more we could do.
Alex Perez joining us now. And Alex, let's go back to the father of the alleged gunman here, who clearly is not accepting any responsibility himself. But could he still be held accountable even though his son was 21 at the time of the shooting rampage?
Well, some legal experts believe the father could be held responsible because his son acquired most of those guns before he was 21 after his father signed that consent form. Now, as for those previous threats, investigators reviewed those cases and determined Cremo was not what they call to be a clear and present danger. Whit?
All right, Alex, thank you.
All right, you guys, there you have it. So you don't, I mean, what do you think? I mean, you know, this. I was thinking about it today. I said, why do we have automatic weapons in America? What is the purpose for it on domestic soil? I mean, it's not like I thought those kind of guns were for war. Why do they even promote that and sell them for somebody that's 21 years old? You know what I'm saying? And why? I mean, because you can't, I mean, what is it for other than to do something like what he's done? It's not like you can use it to hunt with. It's not a hunting rifle. What else are you supposed to use a gun like that for? I don't understand that. I don't understand the whole purpose of it. War, yeah, maybe. I can understand it maybe in war. But on domestic soil, what is the purpose? And then a 21-year-old can get their hands on it. And until somebody can answer that question and until somebody can do something about that, we're going to always satisfy. It's going to always be these kind of shootings, always. It is. When you put that kind of a weapon in the hand of a 21-year-old, how is is he supposed to target shoot? I mean, what is he supposed to do, go out in the woods and shoot an automatic weapon? It makes no sense. So, I'm like I said, I don't believe that people should not carry guns. If you feel like you need to do that, you need to do that. But those type of guns, why? I just don't understand that. I really don't get that. I really don't. That makes no sense to me. You know, and then they call us domestic terrorists. How are we domestic terrorists by teaching the Bible? The Southern Law Poverty Law Office calls the Hebrew Israelite a domestic terrorist, and you letting these young people carry these kind of rifles around, and they killing people with them on domestic soil. It makes no sense. It makes no sense at all. And it's almost like people want it to happen. You know, because I'm not talking about the average person, no. I'm talking about the gun makers, the people who make this stuff. What is the purpose of that type of a gun on domestic soil with regular people every day? And I just don't understand it. I mean, somebody, you push one if you feel free. You want to join in on the conversation. I just don't understand the whole concept of that at all whatsoever. As fast as those bullets come out and as many as they come out at one time, nobody can stand a chance against that. No one. You know? It's just, I don't know. This is the world that we're living in. It's just getting worse and worse and worse, but it's just incredible that this is the kind of stuff that we have to deal with, and they call us domestic terrorists because nobody, and I understand this, let me say this. I know that the Most High fixed this story where it has to be revealed. I know that. It's not something that you can just get. I get it. He fixed this revelation or this consciousness coming into who we are as a people. It's something that has to be revealed. You know, and as much as I would love to see our brothers and sisters that are still in the church, that are walking around on the streets, our young men that's committing these type of crimes, and the ones that are taunting the law and doing things that's going to cause problems for themselves, as much as I would like for them to wake up and understand the beauty of being who you are, it has to be revealed. The Most High has to open up your eyes to see it. There's no way you can see it otherwise. Because I was there. I was in the church. I was there. I know, you know, the resistance that I would have given if someone had have come to me with this information when I was fully vested in the church. I know what I would have said, you know. And it's so weird because as much as they read that Bible and as much as they use those scriptures, I was thinking the other day, nobody has come to the conclusion that Christ was an Israelite. Nobody. They read Mary, they read Joseph, they read the Holy Spirit. Boom, they don't go from no further than that. They even say from the tribe of Judah. I've heard it so many times. Well, in order for him to come from the tribe of Judah, Judah was a man. And Judah was one of Jacob's sons, one of the 12 tribes of Israel. So in order for him to come from the womb of a woman from the tribe of Judah, he has to be a Hebrew Israelite. And that just don't click. That right there doesn't even click. And you wonder, like, what? I mean, you know, everybody is so busy of coming against us, you know, that they don't think. Because you don't even have to come to the conclusion that you want. It's not necessary at this point to come to the conclusion that you're an Israelite, but the God that you claim you serve, that's right there is a no-brainer. He's a Hebrew Israelite from the tribe of Yehuda or Judah. There's no way around that. It's just not. So, you know, this is the thing where truly the eyes of Israel has been closed, because there's certain things they just cannot see. They just will not see it. And somebody said, well, why don't they go to the Caucasian people? The Most High didn't send us to them. He told us to come to gather together of ourselves, you know, to come together, O nation not desired. He gave us that commission for us. Because no matter how much you try to slice it, and I know some folks going to get mad at me that's listening under the sound of my voice, no matter how you try to slice it, there is a protocol to this thing, and Christ gave it. He said salvation is to the Jew first, so that's we have first place, and then to the Gentile. That's how he set the order up. So we have to come together to be able to do this thing appropriately. You know, and even when we read it, they still don't come to that conclusion. I've heard him be called a Palestinian. I've heard him be called a Middle Eastern. I've heard him be called all kind of names, but never have they came to the conclusion that he is from the Hebrew Israelite community. And even though it gives the genealogy in Matthew 1 and in the book of Luke, nobody comes to that conclusion because they just don't want to see that. They don't want to see that. Paul talks about the fact that he's an Israelite. Every prophet in the Old Testament is a Hebrew, is every last one of them. From one tribe or another. So, you know, we just have to understand that the eyes of Israel has truly been closed. It really has. It's truly been closed. It's been something, you know, that the Most High has done, and he has to really come to that conclusion and reveal that. Because that's just historical, that, you know, who he was. You know, not who we are, but who he was. You know, and that's really something, I don't think they want to come to that conclusion. I think it's an issue because if they come to that conclusion, then they have to go further. But, I mean, it is what it is. It's just one of those situations. Now, it's not easy being us. It's not easy being us for several reasons. Because I'm going to say this. There are multiple groups in the Hebrew Israelite community. Multiple groups. There are multiple different teachings and cultures that they are trying to either implement or get away or do away with cultural things, and there is a lot of things out there that a lot of people have experienced because of a nation of people trying to find themselves in a captivity. It's hard. It's a hard thing to do. It's hard, you know, because you know everybody. Some people are trying to re-implement our legal system. Some people are trying to re-implement our elder system. Some people are trying to re-implement a lot of different systems and use a level of accountability that mentally, in my opinion, I don't think they're ready to do. I just don't think so. I applaud everybody for putting forth the effort and trying to change their ways and going into that Bible and finding their cultural identity. I applaud everybody for that. But the level of accountability, the level of integrity, the level of spirituality that is needed to run a nation the way that the Most High desires us to do that, I don't think that's going to happen until we get back to where he is and he straightens out all these different teachings. I just really don't think so. I think each individual will have to be able to work with them on themselves. Now, I don't think there's anything wrong with coming together. Don't get me wrong. But you have to really, really, really be careful with the connections that you make, because sometimes these connections can cause a problem. They really can cause a serious problem, you know, and I'm going to tell you why I say that, and my heart is so broken because you see people go through different things, and, you know, it's like, you know, we can't help. Because, you know, some of the things that we have gone through is as a result of the choices that we've made. And you just can't help. I've watched many camps. I've watched Hebrew Israelite churches. I've seen a lot of things. I haven't seen it all, but I've seen a lot of things. And all I can say to you all is it's important for you. The Bible said work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling. And, you know, you have to be very careful where you go. I've seen people with mores over them. I've seen people with pastors over them. I've seen a lot of different things. And it has been interesting, to say the least. It's been very interesting. You know, to see how they separate themselves from the whole organizational structure of the church. However, it's a different organization, and it's very interesting. I say that. You know, because to me, you know, in terms of trusting man, and when I say man, I mean male and female, in a captive state, it's very difficult to do, in my opinion. It's very difficult to do. Moralistically, professionally, and all that. There's a lot of counseling going on in the Hebrew Israelite community with people that are not qualified to counsel in marriage and all kind of different things. It's a lot of things going on, a lot. And you have to be careful. You just really, that's why you have to have a prayer life. You have to get to know y'all from a prayer. And that's the stuff from Christianity that doesn't change, to have a consistent prayer life. I know over here we're consistently in the Word, you know, and we keep a balance in the Word, but we have to have a prayer life because the Holy Spirit or the Ruach will still lead and guide you into all truth. And she's powerful enough to still do those things, you know, if you listen, she'll steer you away from certain things. But we have to be able to do that. Because if you don't do that, there's a lot of things out there. And I'm going to be honest, some of this stuff look weird. And I asked myself the other day, I said, why do we have to look weird? Is it because everybody thinks that peculiar looks weird? I mean, it just looks weird to me. And that's just my opinion. You know, it's like the weirder it looks, the better. It has to be different because we have to be peculiar because we're a peculiar people. And it's like the peculiarity of who we are is because of the power that we yield. And that has to be the foundation and the basis for it. It doesn't have to do with the way you look on the outside because some of these people is looking real weird. They're doing some weird stuff in some of these. And I know some people that went off into some weird areas. So please be careful with where you go and who you do and who you connect with. Because I'm just a firm believer, and the Word don't lie. So like I said, some of the stuff that we learned in Christianity was truth, you know, because it was the Word. You know, you have to watch what comes out of your mouth and what you say. You have to stay prayerful before the Most High to get to know Him. On top of getting to know Him, once you walk according to His ways, then your words have power. And that's the power that He yields to us, that the things that we come, He said the tongue has the power to speak blessings and cursings. So as we get to know Him, the more we speak His word, the more blessings come, and the Most High is able to bless us. You know, so I ran across a young lady that I was very, it touched my heart because, you know, she was speaking what she considered to be her truth, you know, and I felt so bad. I felt so bad because there's no way to help these people. There's no way to get to these young people and really begin to minister to them. You know what I'm saying? There's no way. Because they made choices in their lives that has taken their journey to a place where it really didn't have to go, you know. And it's just sad, you know, that these young people start out married and in love with their husband. They have, I mean, fresh new lives, new children, new babies. And then they wake up and become an Israelite. And then because they are drawn or fascinated with some of the stuff they see on these YouTube channels, they run to these camps thinking that they're going to receive something. And it's completely opposite of what they tried to get involved in. You know, and it's just really, really, really sad that a lot of the marriages have broken up. You know, the husbands, you know, and I get it, guys. I get it. I get it. I know that being in this captivity was difficult. It was difficult for the men because the men were stifled from really being men. Our men were used to being on top. Our men, by blood, were used to being in control, being the head and not the tail. Our men and our women, but particularly our men, have had to endure a lot of pushback, a lot of being held back, a lot of just resistance from the powers that be, because you can't have two people in charge. You can't have two nations in charge. That's just not the way this thing is written. And the Most High deliberately put us in a situation where, you know, in order for our nation to stay at the bottom and to stay docile, he had to do that to the men, because the men wouldn't allow that any other kind of way. That wouldn't have happened any other kind of way. You know, and it's been very frustrating. It's been very painful. It's been very hurtful to be able to be in a position where you really couldn't do what you felt like you were capable of doing. And I can't imagine, you know, I'm not saying that the women don't experience the same thing. We experience similar things. We do. We experience similar things. And, you know, because of this identity being restored to us, the men have been given an opportunity and a charge to lead in this thing. And there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing. Nothing wrong with it. The problem is that even though the men are leading, we're still leading with a captive mind. We are. We're leading with a resentment in our heart toward the women. And that's not going to work. A nation will never thrive or survive on those principles. You can't have a captive mind, and you can't have resentment in your heart and feel like we're going to lead a nation anywhere, because they're resenting the women, because in order for the nation to have survived, the Most High put it in the people that held us captive, the power to yield the power over to the woman so that the man would stay docile. However, let me tell you how it worked. That to be able to see the plot twist in them doing that, we were able to feed a nation. We the Most High gave us the ability to make sure that the nation survived. Now, did we get big-headed in the process? Yeah, we did. Yes, we did. Did we get judgmental in the process? Yes, we did. Some of us still are. This is my stuff, honey. You got to roll with the program. You ain't got nothing. We did all that. Yes, we did. Yes, we did. But again, in all fairness, it's the ego and the captive mind. And that's what we're dealing with. You ain't bringing nothing to the table. You can't, you know, it's got to be, all that is, that's that slave mentality mind. You know, now let me say, in all fairness, yes, you have to work. You know, you can't come here. I've heard many Israelite brothers come on this class and be like, they won't even let black men go to school. That's not true either. Now, because you don't know how to do it, you can't say that you grew it all together, that they holding you back if you want to go to college. Yeah, they still giving out the same grants. They still giving out the same loans. if that's what you want to do with your life. Now, if you've committed crimes and you got felonies and all that, you don't get what everybody else get, but they still make a way for you to go if you want to go. You know, so, you know, like, you know, today, the jobs are still out there. It might not be what you want to do, but, you know, it's out there for us to do. So we can't make excuses for that either. But however, as a nation, you know, I have to apply both male and female. We've done a phenomenal job. That all praises be to the Most High that we survived. That we survived the things that we have gone through mentally, that we have survived. But we ain't gonna never build it as long as there's resentment, and we have a captive mind. It's just not gonna work. And I see so many Israelite groups, the men, talking about the women and how the women ain't this and the women ain't that and the women. You'll never make the Most High will never sanction it. It'll never be what it need to be as long as that's the emotion. Now, will Satan give you the ability to be seen and heard? Absolutely he will, because that's from 08. Here you're going to get all the platforms you want to get because the brothers want to hear that. Because in their heart, they're resenting the fact that they're in captivity and the things that the Most High has put us through as a people. He's going to put you out front. You're going to get all the airtime you want to get. But that's not what Yah wants us to do. He's never told us to do that. Never. We have got to come together in love. You got to lay aside every weight, everything that so easily besets you. You got to lay that down. You got to forgive. And the biggest thing is, we got to come to the conclusion that he did this. That's the biggest thing. He did this to us. And quit blaming each other. And guess what? The only one that can help the woman is the woman. Because so as long as y'all out, some of them groups out there call them whores and y'all ain't this and you, that has never been the correct method to be able to have someone understand what they're doing was wrong. Christ never did that. And they brought the woman to him that got caught in the act. She with somebody else's husband. She got caught in that. He never turned around and said, oh, you've been acting like a whore. Your ways is whorish and the thing, and woe to a whorish woman. He didn't even bring that scripture up. When he got finished writing on the floor, and I was told, you know, some people speculated that he was writing down the sins of the people that brought her to him. When he got finished doing that and he stood up, he asked her one question. He said, woman, where art thou accuser? Because, see, you can't be a whoremonger and then turn around and call a woman a whore. That don't work. Don't work like that. He said, where art thou accuser? Well, nobody standing. He said, and I don't accuse you either. He said, go and sin no more. That's what he told her. But from our nation, what we get in the day when everybody done woke up, now everybody automatically judgmental. Oh, no. You a whore. We ain't fooling. That's not Yah. That's not Christ. That's not Yahawashah. That's not none of that. Because we done all did something. And some of y'all still doing stuff. And it's a shame. It is. It's a shame. You know, that we've come into this beautiful knowledge of who we are, and we still got mess going on. You know why? Because of the captive mind. Because of the captive. You still dealing with captive mind. You still dealing with resentment in their heart. You still dealing with hatred. You still dealing with jealousy. You still dealing with all. You can hear something because from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We deal with this all the time in the women's call. We deal with this all the time. We do. And this is real serious. I know they don't want to hear some folks hanging up because they don't want to hear that because don't nobody want to know what you sound like. And all the word, they pierce you with the word. Well, what about you? What you done did? Because guess what? I've seen some Hebrew Israelite groups come on and they show their families and all this and their beautiful children. And then when the marriage don't work out or whatever you all consider to be a marriage, when that don't work out, then you on YouTube tearing her down. Or she on YouTube tearing him down. How does that work? Where is love? Where is Christ at in that? Where is the love of God at in that? You got children to raise. How are we going to be an example to the world when we can't even learn how to love each other? I just want to know. Because like I said, I've been in the church. I've been there with people that stood up and walked in with a pure heart. They stood up and gave their testimony believing that they were with the people of God. And they told their life story and the things that they've done in their life, and it was held against them. I seen it. I seen where they done went in hoping for repentance and forgiveness, and the pastor preached on them on the pulpit. I done seen all that. I done been around a long time. I done seen all that. And you know what? It's the same thing over here. It's just flipped upside down. It's just called Hebrew Israelism. It makes no sense. Y'all ain't in it. So don't think that because some of you are getting more airtime than others and some of y'all is all over YouTube, it don't mean nothing. The devil's going to give you whatever you need so that you can promote what he wants you to promote. And that's hatred. That's jealousy. That's resentment. All those things. And you know what it do? It make us dead. He's trying to make us look bad. But a notice to the world. The children of Israel, we don't carry on like that. It said, he told us, with love and kindness have I drawn thee. And that's what we have to issue all the time. Even if we don't agree with each other, and even if we don't get along, we still family at the end of the day, and we do not treat each other. All of us don't carry on like that. Because we have to learn how to live this thing. This is new to us. All this is new. You know? It's really bad how this is being promoted with men, our men. We the only nation on the planet, where our men will say, I don't date black women. I don't date black women. Because y'all hard-headed. If y'all would learn how to act. It's incredible. Only nation on the planet. That's by design. No, that's Lucifer's doing. Because guess what? Before it's all over with, and I promise you, let me give you a promise. Before it's all over with, and before this thing is all over with, you will before it's all over with. Because when he come back, he coming back for his people. You will for taking a what about the stranger and the people? They'll eventually come, but when he come back for us, he coming back for his people. So he and the Most High don't feel like that about us the way you feel about us. He loves his girls. He loves his girls, and he don't love us no less because we done did stuff wrong either. Everybody has done something wrong. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of every last one of us. He loves his women. He loves the daughters of Zion. He loves you. And he knows what you've done in your life, just like everybody else that did in their life. But now all of a sudden, because we didn't become conscious, we cutting you down with the scriptures. Of course the scriptures are supposed to be preached to let you know that you've done something wrong. But it's also supposed to be there to let you know that he loves you in spite of the things that you've done wrong and that he's welcoming you back home. That's what it's supposed to be. Counsel me? No, I don't think so. I'd have to see some stuff. I would have to see some righteous stuff going on because, like I said, there's a lot of stuff out there where people, their marriages is breaking up. They becoming single parents. All kind of stuff is going on. Because of the Israelite community. You know, they husbands is joining these groups and they giving them titles and stuff, and they not even taking, they have just neglected the fact that they have a family and children. Mm-mm. He gonna hold you accountable for that. You ain't gonna get away with that one. Nope, and you can scream how you be mad all day. I'm just telling you, you're going to have to listen. Like I said, the children of Israel, we don't do those kind of things because we understand that we sin much and we love much because much has been forgiven. Mm-mm. We can't afford to do that. And I'm gonna play something for you that put me on this journey. Because this was just something else. Some of y'all might hang up, but it's okay. Because I'm talking to the ones that's listening. Because this is some serious stuff that's going on in our community with our people going through the things that we have gone through. And these young people is going through hell and back trying to believe in something. Hold on. Here we go.
So from my parents, and, you know, we basically burnt a lot of bridges. One body of Dallas, Texas. And when I first seen them, it was just like, dang, like, that's dope. Like, that is so dope how they, you know, witness to people, go door to door. You know how, like, the Jehovah Witness people do? Like, they go door to door and enlighten people or whatever. Then, you know, they preaching about or they witnessing about how, you know, we got to get back to how it used to be, like, royal priesthood, you know. And get back to our roots, basically, and, you know, just basically enlightening people on who they are according to scripture. And I just thought it was just so dope. And like I said, it resonated with me. So, 2017, I got a couple notes just to, you know, reference me so I can stay on track. Because I do not want this video to be all over the place. So, 2017, we got married, and I had my son, right? 2018, you know, we trying our best to keep these feast days. You know, we congregating, which is me and him. You know, we enlightening our parents. We separated ourselves from our parents. And, you know, we basically burnt a lot of bridges. We burnt old people bridges. We burnt bridges. I'm going to just keep it 1K. Like I said, it's me speaking my truth. So, here comes 2019. Fast forward to 2019. May-June, we finally transitioned to Dallas, Texas. So, in the process of us transitioning, commuting to Dallas, Texas, we had a lot of red flags.
Okay.
So I'm gonna just do what I'm told.
Hold on.
Me and his wife started talking, so they, you know, exchange numbers, and, you know, me and his wife started talking, and that's how that happened. And she was around my age, maybe a little older. So as time go on, back to 2019 when we're in the building, we walked into like a wave of people leaving, you know. So when they leave, you know, us walking in the blind, basically the blind leading the blind, they basically told us to cut our communication off with these individuals and woo-doo. So, you know, me being new, you know, I'm just doing what I'm told because it's like, okay, well, maybe they did something bad. I don't know, you know. I don't want no parts of it, so I'm just doing what I'm told.
So let me, because she's talking kind of slow. But basically, they were a young couple, just got married. They had two kids. They moved to another. They moved to Dallas, Texas, to be around a Hebrew Israelite group. Once she got there, it was a whole bunch of mess, and it was. It was supposed to be some counseling done, which wasn't done. It was supposed to be some elders helping her and her husband in her marriage, which wasn't done. Now, when you fast forward later on now, she ended up leaving the group, leaving her husband, because she now is a single parent because of the Israelite experience that she had and how they took him and turned him against her. Basically, is what the whole story is about. And she's just in tears. This young lady is literally in tears because they left together. They left their town together to go pursue this journey and ended up walking into these situations where you got these brothers and sisters with a captive mind trying to create through it. Ain't nothing wrong with creating our culture. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with that. But you're walking into a situation where everybody is still in a messed up state. And it basically just, they turned her husband against her. It's so many stories about these people having these experiences, and I don't want to be no part, no, it's just a mess. And if you don't think y'all is going to hold you accountable, you're going to be held accountable for this stuff. And in their mind, they justify, oh, no, the word said, the word has always been that same way. We was like that in church, dogmatic. It had to be this way. No, because God said, who are you? Because everybody make mistakes. Even with all this word we got in us every day, everybody struggles. And if he was dogmatic to the point where no matter what you did, it was, if you made this mistake, it was over, it wouldn't be nobody left. Nobody's in a position to make you feel that way. Nobody's in a position to make you, condemn you to the point where you're afraid to make a mistake. We're going to make mistakes all the way till we get to where we need to be. Just destroying people's lives because they trusted in what they consider to be the leadership. And these things are, I believe, you know, I'm not saying everybody's not Israel because that's unrealistic. All these groups got to have some Israelites in them. I ain't going to say all these groups are not the true Israelites because I don't know. But I know one thing, everybody's in they're still in a captive mind, trying to claw out of something that we're not out of yet. We're just not out of it yet. And until we get to where he is, for our mind, because he said we're going to, when we look back on the things that we've done, we're going to hate ourselves for it. That means your mind has changed. But right now, ain't nobody hating themselves for the stuff that they doing. One group, you can't, they weren't allowed to wear earrings and makeup. They can't wear no pants. The other group, the women got to walk around with certain, they can't speak. They can't say nothing unless their husbands tell them to talk. It's just crazy stuff, in my opinion. Because everybody believes that Paul is the leader of the church. Paul was the leader of the Gentiles. Then you got groups that believe that the Hebrew Israelites is Gentile. He didn't rule us. The Most High said in the last days with the Israelites, sons and daughters would prophesy. That's a totally different group of people. But because it gives back some of the control, and because it allows for that order to be set, and I'm not against that order. Don't get me wrong. I am not against it. Yeah, I think it can be a beautiful thing when it works because it hands back those control mechanisms. You're being controlled and you're leading with a captive mind because there's nobody on this God green earth that should turn you against your wife. I don't care who they are. There's nobody that can should be able to turn you against your wife. There's no reason. I'm coming, brother. There's no reason for you to come into the Hebrew Israelite movement and burn bridges with your family. There's no reason for that. If anything, they ought to be able to see some love. They'd be like, man, she has really changed. I know They don't keep the high holy days and stuff like that. But she has really changed. Her whole mannerism has changed. Something is wrong. Area code 330, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing.
Okay. I just wanted to tell you about Accra here. So
okay.
now what they're doing at nighttime are they're flying these helicopters around the city all night long. I didn't even think Accra had helicopters. So you hear them all night long. They're flying around. They're taking night camera vision of the protests or, you know, people downtown. And I just have a feeling that when these people come back and say these officers aren't guilty about anything, right? I think this place is going to explode because we have protesters coming from everywhere. We had the girl killed in St. Louis. I mean, not St. Louis, Louisville. Her mom was here. We had the kid that was killed in Cleveland. Her mom was here, and a few other ones from different states that their people have been killed in. So I just think this is a powder keg. And let me tell you, I have no respect for Accra PD because you can't just attack protesters and start beating them up because they say things. That's not what you're supposed to do. They're being heavy-handed here, and Accra don't have enough cops to stop all this. So you rarely see them ride around. They just don't have enough officers here to stop this. They'll have to call in the National Guard. And I know the Attorney General, they're going to announce this on the weekend when ain't nobody downtown, and he's going to say, we didn't find any fault. After 60 bullets, all of y'all need to find fault.
Mm-hmm. So, I agree.
I don't know if y'all saw the original. I ain't talking about the police video where they froze it and all that. I'm talking about the real one when they didn't interrupt it at all. They hit that young man so many times. He hit the ground after two or three, and his body rolled because they kept hitting him. And that didn't make any sense. So I just wanted to tell you that I know I'm off topic on the other thing you were talking about, but every night you hear choppers all night long flying over the city. So, and I'm sure that's on the news somewhere. But, you know, they the activist that came, I think, from Minnesota, they beat him. And he had to go to the hospital because he had a seizure. But he's still out there as of yesterday. So I don't know what they're going to do, but if they come back with the wrong thing, this place is going to explode. And it should explode. All right. Well, thank you. I'm going to start go back to listening.
No problem. You know, unfortunately, that is where we are today. You know, it's consistent, it's continually happening, and, you know, it goes back to the Israelites, you know, hopefully trying to get the knowledge out there. We putting the knowledge out there because the only thing that's going to stop this, and I do agree with you, what you're saying, but the only thing that's going to stop this is when we keep his laws, statutes, and his commandments. That's the only thing that's going to stop this. This is what's going to keep you safe. You know, and a lot of times the Most High covers us when we do something that we have no business doing, and we don't comply. He covers us, and then sometimes he don't. You know what I'm saying? And it's just, and when you run into the monster is real. It's out there. They real. The monster, then when he tell you your enemy, he means that. That's real. No joke. They don't have no empathy at all whatsoever. Because if they have a reason, they're going to use it. Sometimes they don't even have a reason to use it. But when you run into that monster, and we said that last week, everybody's not bad. But when you run into that monster and you give them a reason, they're going to take that reason. And the only thing that saves us is for us to keep his laws, statutes, and his commandments. It's no different than the young brother that was up in Detroit shooting. He shot out the second story window and was shooting cars that was driving down the street. 19 years old. Shooting cars that was driving down the street. Just shooting. And the police shows up and he ambushes the police officers. And then when he did that, he came downstairs, came out of the building, walking up the street with the assault rifle. What do you think they was going to do? They killed him. Because these are the things that happen in a captivity. We done seen it over and over and over and over and over again. We have. And the Most High told us that if we keep his laws, his statutes and his commandments, and do what we're supposed to do, that he will cover us. And he's doing that. But you got to do what you're supposed to do. And I'm not saying, I'm not knocking nobody, don't get me wrong, because it's a terrible thing. The baby's body probably looked like Swiss cheese when they got finished. It's terrible. It is terrible, but that's what you get when you run into monsters. Only a monster can do that. That can shoot and keep shooting and don't stop. And you know the person is dead. That's a monster. So when you run into the monster, that's what you're going to get. It's real talk. And they all ain't monsters. Everybody not monsters. Because evidently nobody had enough conscience to say, okay, man, that's enough. Don't you think that's enough? No. You know? So, it's a situation where it's twofold. You know, you can tell, because there's no training in the world that can tell me to do that to a person. One bullet, you down. It only take one. One bullet, you down. But to stand there and just unload like a firing squad, that's something else going on. And that was wrong. But also, when they told that young man to pull over, he should have pulled over too. Because that was wrong too. So, I mean, you know what I'm saying? We have to be able to call it what it is. You can't take them on a high-speed chase and then expect them to treat you like they treat everybody else because you don't get that. I've seen high-speed chases with blacks and whites. And when there's a gun involved or whatever it is, they're going to shoot you. They're going to blow you up. They're going to do what they do. So at a certain point, we have to have some accountability to do, and it's a shame. I hate to see another young man, because that's one of us that didn't have to die that way. My heart goes out to his family members and everybody the whole city that's grieving as a result of it, because to me it was overkill. But at the same time, you have to be obedient too. And that's what I tell my children. You have to be obedient too. You have to make sure everything is in place and you got everything you need in place so that when this stuff go down, then we have a problem. But he should have pulled over when they told him to stop. Because not only did he put their life in jeopardy, he put other people's lives in jeopardy when you flying through the street. It's crazy. I mean, we got to be fair about this situation because we always go to the end result. Well, look at what they did. It's a terrible thing. However, what did you do? And believe me, I've had some children that have had to go to jail. I've had some. My daughter in particular, she said wasn't nobody going to tell her what to do. Okay, well, she went until she was sitting in jail. And then when she was sitting there, I went to see her. I said, whose fault is this? Mine. I said, who did this to you? Me. Okay, well, as long as you know what you did, that's fine. But don't expect me to sell the farm because you made a decision to get yourself in trouble. You know, and that's the kind of stuff we got to be able to talk about. Yeah, it was overkill. They shot that boy way too many times, but what can you say? If the city erupted, it'd be another city where it's just a went haywire, and they're going to call in the marshal. They're going to call in whoever they need to call in to get it under control, because it's not going to go out of control. That's why I don't understand why they claim they can't do nothing about these guns. Yes, you can. Because if you really want to do something about these guns, you could shut all this stuff down. You could. You know, it's just enough is enough. I mean, everybody got to be accountable. You got to look at yourself and say, what did I do? How could I have changed the situation? And that's, again, what we come in teaching the law, statutes, and the commandments. Because you got to do what y'all say in order for him, you know, for you to be all right in that situation. You got to do what he say do. So that if you run into the monster and it ain't your time to go, he going to protect you through this thing. It's just simple. It's simple. It's simple. Just do. The police pulled up behind me the other day. I knew he was going to get behind me. And I was in the car with my nephew. I said, look at him. There you go. And he pulled right up behind me. And he said, what are you doing? I said, running my information. And guess what he did? He pulled right on off. Because guess what? We ain't doing that over here. You know, it's done the way it's supposed to be done. But if them sirens had went on, I would have pulled over. I ain't going through the street no high-speed chase with them. Uh-uh. So that's where we have to tell our kids, don't be riding dirty. Don't be having no dope and stuff in the cars with you when you're riding. Don't be having no weapons in the cars with you when you're riding, because 9 times out of 10, if you're a young black man riding in the car, it's a chance they're going to get behind you and they're going to pull you over. They're going to find a reason to pull you over. And then when you don't, there's a reason why you're not stopping. It's just a reason. If you don't stop, anything can happen. Because now you done put them in jeopardy, you in jeopardy, and everybody around you in jeopardy. Because you won't stop. Anything can happen. And it's unfortunate that it happened like that. That's terrible. I can't imagine. Even if you ain't got no driver's license, if they tell you to stop, stop. You know? Even if you don't. I just seen another situation, same situation, a woman. A young girl, they pulled the white cop, the lady cop pulled her over. She said, why are you pulling me over? She said, because you got tags on your car that's expired. No, I don't. My tags, and you could tell she was under the influence of something. My tags ain't expired. They on the window. She said, you got tags on the window, and you got tags on the car. Two different sets of tags. And that's why I pulled you over, because the ones that's on the car is expired. She said, do you have driver's license? No, man, I don't have driver's. You can tell she was high. And then they pulled her out of the car. Why are you pulling me out of the car? Because you high. And everybody could tell you high. Well, I need to call my kids because they at the hotel by themselves. Why are you leaving them? Come to find out, when they went through the car, she had drugs and scales and all kind of stuff in there. She in the back of the car, in the back of the police car, kicking the doors. Come on. At some point, I'm so sorry that young man is gone. I just really am, because it's just a waste. It's a waste of life. The young man is shot and killed, the Detroit police officer, a waste of life. But you can't take somebody else's life and expect that's not okay. It's not. But you know what it is? I'm going to tell you what it is. It's the upbringing a lot of times. It is. It has to start at home. It has to start there, because that we've been so busy trying to baby and make Pookie and them feel, and baby and them feel good. And we've been dressing Pookie and baby and them up and giving them the designer clothes and the expensive gym shoes. And we've been doing all the things that we were supposed to do when they was little, because black people love to dress. I mean, we keep it 100 when it comes to putting them clothes on. We get these little babies and we dress them up, and we met, oh, poor Pookie. They be shy of going to school. That's why they start implementing uniforms. So everybody would have the girls. They said the girls came to school dressed up and didn't even have paper and pencil. Designer bags and didn't even have paper and pencil. And we've been giving them a false sense of entitlement and security to to the point where they feel like they supposed to have this stuff. And then when they get grown and they, mama ain't doing it no more, then they going to try to do whatever they need to do to go out there and have it. You know, and the work ethic is gone. You know, the whole rap music thing and the gangsters and the drug dealer stuff they promoting in Hollywood and the music industry. All this has, this, all of this, like the girl said, the video games, the violence and the, all this has promoted what we have come to today. These are the kids that they have produced. They working. Working. I ain't getting ready. Mm-mm. These young boys is killing these their baby mamas and stuff because they having an argument. Why? Because you sitting on the couch playing video games because you don't want to get no job. Come on. We got to start with us. It has to start with us. It's just too much of it. I mean, it's just too much of it. And back again to the Israelite community, we have a responsibility, but we ain't going to be able to witness to win nobody with the mess we got on YouTube. Ain't nobody going to let them be like, man, I ain't listening to them crazy people. And the problem is when they see you, they think we're part of you and we not. And I'm not ascribing to it. I'm not going to do it. We not. And we love our children. I hate to see a 19-year-old shot down in the street. I hate to see a 19-year-old with an assault rifle killing people. Whether they white, black, or whoever, that's ridiculous. You haven't even lived life. Life ain't even got started for you yet. It breaks my heart every time I see it. But like the police officer in Detroit, what do we do? We need to do something. Everybody talking, it's time out for talking. What do we do? How do we stop it? A captive mind. That's a captive mind. And it's a sad situation to be in. It is so sad. It's a captive mind. It is. Because we got to make ourselves feel good because we're in this captivity. And guess what? We have more disposable income and make less than most of the people that's in this country, and we spend more money than anybody. Making ourselves feel good. We buy more designer products. All they got to do is wear it on TV, and we got it on. And we're living in the project, hood rich. We hood rich in the project, and Shab is I don't know what. The captive mind. It's what it is. It's the captive mind. And until we get out of here, and until that captive mind changes, you know, it's going to be this. We're going to deal with this. It's going to be consistent. It's going to be constant, bro, sir. Area code 330. It's going to be constant. We're going to see more and more and more and more and more of it until we come back to y'all. That's the only thing that's going to stop it. Because we can't stop it. They can't change no laws. They're going to make up, well, this is our policy. This is what we do. He took us on a high-speed chase. What was he supposed to do? He endangered the community. Not just them, not just us, but them too. What can we do? It's only when we come back to Yah and be accountable to him for the things that we are doing and done that this is going to change. Ain't nothing else going to change it. I wish I had something else to say. There's nothing else that's going to change it but Yah and his laws, statutes, and his commandments. And everybody knows, oh, the law done away with. You better get it back, because if you don't, this, it ain't going to be too many men left. That's the only thing that's going to fix this. The law. His laws, his statutes, and his commandments. That's what's going to fix it. Because those laws were given to us to govern us as a nation. And I promise you, when we do go back and we do establish ourselves as our own nation in our own land, it's a whole lot of stuff ain't going to be happening. Ain't going to be no killing no innocent kids. It ain't going to be no raping of no women. Because the way our laws are set up, if you do those things, you will be automatically put to death. Ain't going to be no penal system where you're going to be fed for 30 years or walking around talking on the phone, going to college, working out in the gym, in prison. Ain't going to be none of that. It's already established what his judicial punishments are in concerning our nation. when we get to our nation, this is just how it's set up over here. Man just married an alligator. It ain't going to be no bestiality over there. You're going to be put to death. He is not having none of that. It ain't cute. It ain't funny. It's wicked. But this is where we live. And this is what we have to see. It ain't going to be all that. It ain't going to be no pedophilia now. It ain't going to be none of that. You're going to be put to death. It ain't going to be none of that. He spelled it out correctly. Ain't going to be none of it. It ain't going to be all the stuff in murdering. If you shed innocent blood, your life is required at the hands of the executioner in our nation when we go back and set up his laws. You shed innocent blood, your life is required. Now, under Christ, are you going to be forgiven? Yes, you're forgiven. You are. You're forgiven. But you ain't going to be able to just go through his lation either, murdering. It ain't going to be none of that. He's not going to put my laws in your heart. You're going to know them laws. Because those are to govern your behavior and what you can and cannot do. And the grace and forgiveness of Christ gives you an opportunity to receive salvation so that you can receive eternal life. That's what this is all about. And while we're here, we just have to watch this stuff. We have to continue to watch it time after time, day after day, people after people. It's the same stuff over and over again. And it's just, that's what we have to watch. Because somebody poked the bear. They feel like, oh, that ain't going to happen to me. I'm good. You don't know when. You don't know that. So we have to keep talking to our children, and we have to keep let them know this is the world we live in, and these are the people that we deal with, even from your own people. You know, certain people you just don't go around. Certain neighborhoods you just don't go in. Why? Because everybody got an agenda. People doing stuff to each other. They don't think nothing to get you. If they going to get you, they going to get you. And they feel like you shouldn't be, hey, you put yourself out there, you're going to get got. And that's how they feel. So we have to start teaching our children, you know, that there's more to life than this. And quit dressing them up, making them believe in the fairy tale, because that's what it is. And I know from experience. I'm talking from experience. I went through a serious culture shock when I left my parents' house and got married. And I thought life was going to be the same way it was. No, he didn't have the money they had. I had to start from the bottom, and I was in shock. I realized at that moment you have made a grave mistake, because I just knew in a fairy tale that life was going to stay the same. Now, you know, you had to get out there and make your own. You had to make your own way. And these kids ain't trying to do that. They ain't, no. We got to get out there and teach them. No. Just real talk. Because for real, we could shut this whole penal system down if our children would be taught properly and if they was to just start to act right and just do things right. A lot of this stuff wouldn't be happening. A lot of people wouldn't have no jobs. You know? Not from us anyway. But we are the most population in the prison system right now. You know, we are. But he going to fix that too eventually. Now, how he going to do that, I don't know. But he said that we was hid in prison houses and all that kind of stuff. And I don't know how y'all going to do it, but that's his plan. It's not my problem to know. But in terms of our children, we have to start teaching our children from little bitty kids. Don't start when they get 16. Yeah, you got to start when they get old enough to talk. You got to start when they get old enough to understand, because when they're young, I just told my son this. He has a 3-year-old and a 2-year-old. They will absorb anything you teach them. Start teaching them about Yah. And I talked to my daughter-in-law yesterday. She said, did you teach my son how to say hallelujah? I said, I sure did. She said, that's all he's saying all through the house. Hallelujah. I said, I know that's right. He three. Let's get this done early. Hallelujah. I heard him in the back. Hallelujah. She said, I know ain't nobody taught you that but your grandma. I sure did. And I'm going to teach him some more for y'all over with. I sure did. So we got to start when they're young. And then as you rear them up, they know how to conduct themselves. And they know what not to do and what to do. Because when you take that chance and you think that, this ain't going to happen to me, it just might. You might run into a monster or some monsters. So, you know, you got to start young. They got to be young and start, and it ain't too late to start. You know, we got to start putting some things together. There's work to be done. The harvest is plentiful. The labor's a few. Ain't nobody got time. Everybody's so we got to make time. Each one reach one. You know, each one reach one. Because the Most High going to take care of the other side, the ones that did that. He going to deal with them. You ain't got to worry about that. Everybody, he said, ain't nobody going to get away. Everybody going to be held accountable for the things that they've done. That's why I don't go through all that. I'd be like, please have mercy on me. Forgive me for my sins and cleanse me from all of my unrighteousness. Because I please have mercy on me. And that's what we all have to be saying. Because he's going to deal with that. That's not going to be gone. That ain't none of this over yet. So, we know that part going to be. He said, vengeance is mine. Whether it's policy or not, he said, vengeance is mine. And he's going to deal with it. And the same way with us. If you put yourself in a situation, sometimes he protect you and sometimes he don't. You know, so let's keep each other in prayer. Let's continue to do what we need to do. We have Brother Uriah, if you want to, I'm going to open up your mic so you can tell them about the new moon ceremony on Tuesday, I think it is. Brother Uriah, would you let them know what time we meeting on Tuesday?
Yes, on Tuesday, July 12th, we have a new moon celebration that starts at 8:45 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
All right, 8:45, we're going to be on the line at 8:45 Eastern Standard Time for the New Moon Ceremony, and it's the regular call number for our class on Saturday. We're only going to be on there for a few minutes. And what are the do's and the don'ts, Brother Uriah?
Well, we don't buy or sell for 24 hours, you know, from 8:45 on Tuesday night to 8:45 on Wednesday.
Okay.
And we can cook, and that's basically it.
Okay, so we're going to come together on Tuesday at 8:45 and then Wednesday night to end it on 8:45. That's our new moon ceremony, which means we're going into a new month. All right, everybody, and I want you guys to have a wonderful rest of your week. And you guys, shalom, shalom, and we'll see you on Tuesday night. Shalom, everyone.